From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 199 with guest Peter Schmidt, recorded Thursday, February 3rd, 2011. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. You're listening to Run As Radio. I'm flying solo today. Greg is off doing real work, and I get to have the fun of just chatting about technology. With me today, my guest is Peter Schmidt, who works as an infrastructure architect at a Microsoft Gold partner in Denmark. He's an Exchange 2007 Microsoft Certified Master with over 13 years of experience working in Exchange Server and awarded the Microsoft MVP in IIS. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you.
So, based in Denmark?
Yes, I am.
And what's the Exchange world like over there?
At the moment, it's quite busy. For the Exchange project, I guess it's not the large project, as you might know from the North American side.
You know, there's big and small ones, although I think BPOS and all of the ISP offerings of Exchange have really put pressure on the smaller implementations these days.
They certainly have. We see it here as well. So even though the projects are still quite interesting, though.
Sure, yeah. It's always good things going on. And Exchange, I find, one of the most challenging products. It's something that always has to work. People have no tolerance for their email not getting through. And yet, it's very complicated.
That's true. It's definitely become a highly critical system. So
there's no tolerance to failure. We were talking a bit about Exchange Federation. For the folks who've never heard of this, what is Federation in the context of Exchange?
Well, Federation is actually not a new concept when talking about Exchange. But I guess where most people with an Exchange background might have heard of Federation is starting with 2003, when you talked about federation in that kind of scenario, you had a sort of a cross-forest trust, maybe establishing within a merger of companies, establish a trust and doing federation in that kind of scenarios.
So this is more of an Active Directory thing, that I've got two separate companies with their own Active Directory hierarchies and I need them to get along in some way?
Yeah, and the benefits you get in Exchange is that you exchange free vision information for one thing across those two forests.
Okay.
But the concept has changed along with first Exchange 2007 that made federation a lot easier across forests.
Okay.
And now with Exchange 2010, Microsoft made it even easier than that, and we now have the possibility of actually doing it, even though it's not a company that we maybe are doing a merger with, but it might just be a partner that we communicate with a lot.
Right, because I'm thinking in the merger scenario, then this is just temporary. Before we fold, wrap up one domain, we'll just link them together, but eventually we'll migrate everybody to one and close the other one down.
Yeah, eventually you will, yeah. I guess most people use that federation scenario doing the coexistence.
Mm-hmm. Well.
But with the federation possibilities in 2010, I guess that those kind of scenarios can change.
Okay.
So for instance, when we were trying to set up a time slot doing this podcast, we exchanged email a couple of times to find the exact time slot.
And believe me, that went pretty easily. I've dealt with folks that had to, as soon as you have two or three guests, and it's scheduling, trying to find a time that everybody can record.
Yeah, I bet. But even though I think we exchanged three or four emails to find the exact time slot.
You bet.
So in a scenario like that, if we were doing this quite often, would be a benefit of doing Exchange Federation, though, because when you were doing the invite and entering my email, well, what you would get in your Outlook doing that would actually be my free busy to see if I had available time at this time slot.
Sure. So I could actually look, and I'm not really looking through your calendar, but I can check what times you're available.
Yeah, you only see the free busy information.
Okay.
Of course, there are granularities where the admin might say that certain partners should be able to see more than just the free busy.
But, sure.
As default, yeah, you're just seeing the free busy, which I believe is the most important part in this.
I totally agree. So I could see you hire a PR company to work with. They're not ever going to join your business per se, but they're working with key people in the organization, and they need to be able to, say, schedule interviews to be able to look into that calendar and just see when people are available. That's pretty compelling.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a good scenario as well.
Mm-hmm. So what does it take to make that federation work?
Yeah, well, that's the great part about Exchange 2010, because that's exactly what Microsoft has done a lot of work with, and to make it a lot easier than it was in Exchange 2007 or Exchange 2003.
Okay.
For instance, in 2007, you definitely had to, you usually had a closer working environment with the partner that you wanted to exchange this, because you had to set up some kind of service account, make sure it was working on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're talking about Exchange 2010, everything runs based on web services.
Okay.
And what Microsoft has done to make this a lot easier is that they have made sort of an internet clearinghouse called the Microsoft Federation Gateway. So that gateway is placed in the cloud, together with a lot of Microsoft's new services. But the point of this new gateway is that it's a free gateway that you can subscribe to in your Exchange organization if you want to do this. So let's say that I wanted to do a federation and make sure my Exchange could handle federation, and later on maybe set up some federation with your organization.
Mm-hmm.
All I basically has to do in Exchange is there is a federation setting, and I have to start configuring that wizard and make sure there is a certificate. So everything that is exchanged from my organization to the Federation Gateway is, of course, encrypted.
Right. So it starts with a certificate so you can communicate to the gateway, perhaps even before you have a partner in mind?
Yeah, you need to make sure that you are validated on the gateway before you can set up certain domains that you want to exchange information with.
Okay.
But this is a one-time thing. I only need to set up the Federation Gateway and validate my information once. And when I've done this once, I can easily add more domain or based on more partners.
Sure.
But the convenience of doing this is that we have a federation gateway that makes sure that there's a sort of single sign-on. The users log into the Active Directory within their organization, and they don't have to do anything else, because all the services and everything else runs on the Exchange box in the back end.
Okay. Now, does a partner have to have Exchange as well? Like, this is only an Exchange-to-Exchange thing?
Currently, it's to really benefit of this new service in Exchange 2010, the partner actually has to have Exchange 2010.
Right. So both ends have to have Exchange 2010. What if one of them is getting, like, Exchange 2010 through an ISP?
I guess that shouldn't be a problem as long as the ISP then is enabling their forest or Exchange organization to talk to the Microsoft Federation Gateway.
Right. So the ISP has to play ball with Federation for that to work.
Yeah. So for instance, Microsoft's Exchange Online, of course, works with the Microsoft Federation Gateway.
Okay. So if they're using BPOS.
Yeah, if they were using BPOS, this would also work. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, if you have some part of your organization or have a partner that's using BPOS, this could also be a great way of exchanging that free busy information.
Okay. So first step is you get yourself connected with the Federated Gateway. That seems almost like an SSL key holder or something, that it's just sort of a negotiation point.
Yeah, it definitely is a negotiation point. It is. And I believe it came with Service Pack 1 of Exchange 2010. Mm-hmm. Everything can actually be based on self-signed certificates.
Okay.
Before that, I guess most people are moving towards SP1, so that's the interesting part, that you basically can just use the self-signed certificates. So you don't have to rely on your certificate to match all the requirements needed.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Trusted Root Certificate Authorities, and it's a fairly narrow list.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It's just the big guys. It's GoDaddy, Network Solutions, VeriSign, like just a handful of, and I notice fairly distinctly, no European CA friendlies here.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're using public certificates, that could be a potential problem you could run into.
Right.
But they kind of solved that with the SP1 since you can now use self-signed certificates.
Okay.
For this authentication towards the Microsoft Federation Gateway. In the part of validating that you actually own the domain, you have to, the exchange is actually contacting the Federation Gateway on
right.
your behalf when you're setting this up. And you get a sort of a hash value back, and you need to make sure this hash value is populated into your public DNS on the domain that your organization is using.
So this would be a hash.yourdomain.whatever?
Yeah, something like that. It's based on the text record in the DNS.
Okay.
And that's a way of adding that hash value, and then when you continue the process within Exchange, the Federation service is looking up the DNS record and making sure that you actually own the domain.
Okay.
And that needs to be completed before you can process anything else about Federation on Exchange.
Which, if you're managing your own DNS servers, this is a trivial step. But if you're not, it could take 24, 48 hours.
It could easily, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. If you manage everything yourself, you could potentially be running within a few hours, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but I could see why you want to do your relationship with the Federation Gateway ahead of time, just because of those little things, get that DNS stuff right and so forth, and get your token settled before you're trying to work with the partner.
Yeah, exactly. You definitely need to make sure everything on the Federation Trust
is
towards
working.
The Microsoft Federation Gateway is in place.
Yeah.
So when the Federation Trust is in place, that's from your organization to the Microsoft Federation Gateway. And what it actually makes sure is more or less that your organization is validated with Microsoft. So when you do this process,
mm-hmm.
we don't validate or authenticate directly. You just sort of ask the Federation Gateway at Microsoft if we or my organization is actually authenticated at this gateway. And if we are, you can then establish the Federation directly to my organization.
Okay.
And get free busy information.
So once I'm all set up, now my partner has to get set up as well. And what's the handshake process exactly to say, okay, I want to be able to see each other's information?
Yeah, well, the handshake is actually based on the Federation Gateway.
Okay.
So I have validated my organization to talk to the Federation Gateway. And then I need to set up some kind of organizational relationship. And that organizational relationship is usually based on the email domain.
All right.
So when you send me an email, I just have to make sure that my Exchange admin had put that or these emails that you use in your organization into the organizational relationships. And based on that, my admin can then choose how much we actually want to share. Do we just want to share the basic free business information?
Right.
Or do we actually want to share a bit more than that? I believe it's location details and subject. That's also a possibility to enable.
But that's on the appointment side. What about the contact side? Can we see each other's global catalogs?
Well, not global catalog, but if I as a user has some contacts that I actually want to share with you, if this has been enabled in the organizational relationship,
right,
I'm able to share my list of contacts with you.
Mm-hmm. So, Peter, what can I share besides free busy information?
The user is able to share contacts.
So you could also share contacts?
Yeah.
Okay. And plus, you said subject and location. How does it know the location?
Yeah. Well, the location based on your input to a meeting request, maybe.
I see.
Put in the location could be a meeting room.
Right. Right. I get it.
Or a certain building. So it's usually the subject and the location of that certain meeting.
Okay, so generally you have access, you can granularly control all kinds of access information around the calendars and contacts.
I don't think you can granularly down. If I as a user wants to share the contacts.
Right.
I guess you and at the remote organization can see my contacts because I've made those available to you.
Okay.
But when talking about free busy, the admin is able to set three levels in controlling this with a remote organization. As an exchange admin, I can choose that I do not want to share any free busy information with a certain domain, for instance. Or as an admin, I can say, I don't mind sharing free busy, but I only want to share the free busy time slots. So they know when a certain contact might be available for a meeting. And the last one is that I can enable the free busy information along with the subject of the meeting and the location of the meeting.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's those three levels that can set this on.
And how much granularity do we have in terms, is it just at the domain level or can I specify what users in that domain have access to this or not?
This is under the domain level.
Okay.
The admin chooses this. I just got one thing about the user granularity. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I actually believe that you can enable or disable for one or certain users.
Like you could set up a security group list and say, that's the group that can use this.
Yes, you can do that.
So, yeah, I'm going back to our PR scenario here. I'm a big organization. I've hired a PR firm. They need to book appointments for a certain number of my people. So I can specify, yes, I'm going to federate with you. This is the domain. Set up a group of, interview bookers, and they're the ones who can see who's got free busy slots available.
That's about it. Yeah,
that's really compelling. And as long as you can get the bar down on this, it's not too hard. You could see making lots of small partnerships this way.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I believe that's what Microsoft actually has done with Exchange. It's pulling the bar down on actually configuring this, because you actually had some way around doing this in Exchange 2007.
Mm-hmm.
It was just difficult to set up.
Well, it feels like they've taken the Active Directory part out of this, because up until now, every time I've looked at Federation, it's like we had to connect our Active Directories together in some way.
That's true. And that was also the scenario in Exchange 2007.
Right.
Even though it was the Exchange cache servers actually doing the communication, you had the Active Directory behind each organization.
Right. And you use those terms. You talked about forests in a domain, and that... I think when you say that to an IT person, now it's a fairly high-level security issue, and you speak to it much more strictly. This is more of a efficiency issue around email and calendaring than it is about sharing Active Directory relationships.
It definitely is. And I guess the way Microsoft has put it now with using the Microsoft Federation Gateway and doing everything about the authentication about the, on this without the Active Directory, like you're talking about, they have put this totally in the hands of the Exchange admin.
Right.
Well, as an Exchange admin, I don't have to make sure I had the AD guys and the security guys. Well, the security guys probably want to be in on this anyway, but I don't have to collaborate with the AD guys on this as I used to before.
No, and then honestly, there's only one big step here, which is getting the initial configuration to the gateway, where you're going to involve a lot of people. Once that's done, everything's pretty easy after that.
It is. It's making sure you have a trust with the Federation Gateway and the certificate in place.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're actually set to start adding organizations that you want to communicate with. And as you also mentioned, in the scenario, you can narrow it down to certain people or certain groups that are actually able to exchange previous information.
What about governance around this? Is there much in the way of logging? Can I have a record somewhere when an external federated entity is looking at someone's calendar?
That's a very good question. I've not come across that part in the...
I mean, I know when you turn Exchange logging up, it logs everything to the point where you can't even read the log. But I have not seen anything around the logging of this. And it's an interesting idea that, you know, when I talk to my security people about this, they may want to know when those things go on, when a delegated relationship like that actually takes place.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. That's a very good question. I'm pretty sure that must be in there somewhere,
I'm going to presume, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you, though. But yeah.
And just to be clear here, you also control inside of your Exchange box which mailboxes can be seen, right?
Yeah, that's part of what you talked about in the scenario before as well.
Right.
As I can say that I want to allow 10 people to sort of make their FreeBSY available.
Right. It's not just that I control which PR accounts can look for FreeBSY. It's which ones of the accounts in my mail domain they can look at all. Everyone else is just not going to be able to see.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's true.
So you can be as granular as you want to be here. Really?
Yeah, and a lot of it is actually based on a sort of a sharing policy. So it can make it a lot easier for the admin to create a sharing policy that tells them to maybe certain people are allowed to share FreeBSY with everyone, doesn't matter what domains
right.
are asking for FreeBSY information, they can share it. But there might be some part of the organization which only allows FreeBSY with maybe your part or your organization.
Right.
So we had the VPs maybe. All they are sharing is FreeBSY with your organization. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm starting to wonder if I would change policy here, because I've often run into situations where I have third-party folks that are working with my organization for a certain amount of time, and we end up giving them an email address.
Yeah.
Would I want to stop doing that? If they have an Exchange server, great, then I'll federate them in and they can have their email address that way. Or even send them to an ISP or a BPOS, say, go get an Exchange address that supports Federation and we'll pull you in that way, rather than creating mails in my domain for temporary people.
Yeah, that could be a good way of doing it instead of just creating new mailboxes all
right.
the time.
Well, and the big thing from my perspective is these are users added to AD that I don't want.
That's true. And you have to make sure that the permissions are set for those users in
right.
AD, so they are not allowed to access more information that they actually need.
Yeah, you get away from this whole, I'm giving this guy a domain user account, and all he really needed was a mailbox.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, now I'm completely fascinated, Peter. Like, this is a whole other level of, we only give domain user accounts to people who work for the company. Externals do their mail another way, and we federate it in so they get the features that they need.
Yeah, that's the great part of this Exchange Federation as it looks at the moment in Exchange 2010.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I'm totally thrilled now. This is exactly, this solves some issues here, especially when we get into bigger organizations. A lot less cleanup, a lot less maintenance. I could see using third-party assistance business where it's literally one-to-one relationships. This assistant has access to that person's account, but that's it. You know, all kinds of variations on this.
Yep, I totally agree. There's just the one major requirement here is that both organizations need to run Exchange 2010.
And that's not a small requirement. So I guess the other piece would be to talk in the one-off scenarios is what third-party ISPs or service providers are offering Exchange 2010 with Federation support so you could do it that way.
Yeah, or make sure your partner uses Exchange Online or the BPOS.
Yeah, one of those things so that you actually solve it that way. And I hope we haven't understated the complexity here of getting that relationship with the Federated Gateway working. It sounds like that's one of those things that's either going to work in 15 minutes or you're going to pull your hair out to make it work.
I wouldn't say so because the great part of this in Exchange 2010 is actually it's really wizard driven.
Really?
So, yeah. And what the users or the admins has to do is on the organization configuration part of their Exchange 2010 organization, there are two places that you can configure something here.
Right.
The federated trust and the organization relationship.
Right.
And the federated trust is the one thing you need to have in place communicating with the Microsoft Federation Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
When that's in place, validated based on your DNS email domain, you can continue with the organization relationship configuration. And you're more or less set to get started on this.
To move forward from there. And when you've got externals that just have Outlook, then they've got other issues. Like you can give them an account or you can send them to BPOS or something along those lines.
Yeah, I guess if you have people who are just using Outlook or maybe not running Exchange 2010, there are other ways of exchange information, like the Office Online calendar sharing mechanisms, which is part of the Outlook 2007 and 2010.
It'll also be interesting to see how this would work with OCS. So you start getting into that point of presence stuff and instant messaging and so forth that we could start pulling externals into our instant messaging side. I think maybe out of the context of this show, but it's interesting to think about this federation model with, now the phones would be interconnected as well.
Yeah, but you kind of have the federated concept in OCS as well.
Right.
Although you don't have a federated gateway.
The same
that,
way.
That kind of interconnects those two organizations.
Right.
In OCS, it was more directly between the two organizations. So I guess, but there was not that much about authentication in that part. It was more that on your end, you had to make sure that I could actually federate into your OCS organization.
Yeah.
And basically, when we're talking quite basic about this, that was what you had to do in OCS compared to all the federated stuff here in Exchange.
Yeah, and I think the breakthrough the Exchange has made here is that they've gotten away from that AD gal approach to things and gotten into just the services you absolutely need. I don't know if OCS is there yet, but it's a good way forward. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, me too, definitely. And that's also one of the things I found it interesting to talk about this today because I talk a lot about this with clients. I don't see many of them really actually knowing about this beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are definitely not quite there yet and ready to implement this, but the concept of this is quite new to a lot of people. But
sure.
They definitely find it fascinating and interesting that you really have this possibility now.
Awesome. Hey, Peter, we're just about out of time. Anywhere folks should be looking to get more information about Exchange 2010 Federation?
I find the best resources about this is on the Microsoft TechNet site.
All right.
Searching for Exchange 2010 and Federation. And
great.
It should come up quite easily. There's really a lot of information about getting started on this.
I'll make sure to include that in the show notes and a link to your blog, too, so folks can find more about you.
Sure. Sounds good.
Peter Schmitz, thanks so much for coming on Run As Radio.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.